Exodus chapter 14, and I debated on staying with this message, you know, but I've told you before, I don't always preach a Thanksgiving message on Thanksgiving, Christmas message on Christmas, or Easter message on Easter, so we just try to follow the Lord, and that's the most important thing, amen, just follow the Lord, and I hope this will be a blessing and help to us. I shared maybe on one service that we had was wanting to get to this message sometime and share a little bit about this for a few moments with you, and we feel the Lord giving us liberty to do that tonight. And so if you have your Bibles, stand with us if you would, if you want to tonight, if you can. Exodus chapter 14, and we'll begin reading verse 19. Read a few verses here where the Bible tells us, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." Amen. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, for this time you've given us. Lord, I pray, God, that we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God tonight. Lord, you know what we have need of. Thank you, Lord, for the good testimonies tonight. Lord, thank you for a people that want to praise you and want to thank you and give you glory in these days. Lord, I pray, God, that you would touch us, Lord, and bless us in this season, Lord. And as we look forward to celebrating Christmas, Lord, I pray that we'd keep you first in our lives and everything that's done, Lord. You get the glory and the praise. Lord, I pray, God, you bless us tonight. Lord, you know each need. Lord, I pray you encourage our heart, Lord, as you already have. Lord, I pray that you just meet with us in a special way. All that's done, we'll bow our unworthy head and thank you and praise you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Here in the Exodus chapter 14, I say this every once in a while. Maybe it all ought to be familiar to us from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. But no doubt, at least the parting of the Red Sea, Lord God, ought to be familiar to us all. Amen. Amen. In fact, it's really the greatest miracle of the Old Testament. And, of course, the greatest miracle of the New Testament is that Jesus died for you and he rose again on the third day. Amen. Amen. But the miracle of the Old Testament, the parting of the Red Sea, is a picture of salvation. It's a picture of coming out of bondage, coming out of slavery, coming out of Egypt, the type of the world, and headed toward Canaan land, headed where they need to be in the will of God. And when they went through the Red Sea there, it was a miracle of God that God made it a wall of waters on each side. And a lot of times we talk about that and we focus on that, and that's good. But the whole night before that, they could have been completely wiped out by Pharaoh and his army. I mean, the night before that, they could have been completely wiped out that night because the enemy was just beside of them. The enemy was real close. I mean, the enemy was right up on them, but they didn't know it. They never could see because God had gave them a hand of protection that was with them even just before that, even as they left Egypt, and up to this point, and for the first time here, this pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, God moved it back behind them for a while. And as the Pharaoh's army approached and looked, it was dark and cloudy to them, and they couldn't travel any farther. And it was a hand of protection. It was God just staying his hand and making a wall between Not only was there a wall when they went in the Red Sea of water on each side, but there was a wall between them and the Egyptians. There was a division there that they couldn't even see their enemy. Ain't that a blessing? You know what? The enemy sometimes is right up against us too. The enemy is on every hand with us too. And I thank God that sometimes God protects us from even seeing how bad it is, really.
That's right.
I mean, if spiritually our eyes could be opened, I believe we'd see the powers of darkness. We'd see the wickedness in this world greater than we ever have before. We'd see the demons of hell that are in operation in this day and time. But thanks be unto God, the Lord, like He was doing there in the days of the children of Israel here, He protects us. Amen?
Amen.
I guess this might be a good Thanksgiving message. We're just going to talk about God's protection, God's hand, God's blessing, just like as He blessed the children of Israel. I want to talk to you a little bit about that pillar. Amen. That pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Now, it ain't a pillar to go to sleep on, okay? It's you know, a column, if you will. And just a big old cloud stood up there. And they knew what direction to go in. They knew where to head because that was always before them. In fact, as they traveled throughout the wilderness for 40 years, there was always direction from the hand of God. There was always direction with that cloud. As in the daytime, they could look at it. Thank God in the daytime they could look at it and it was there. And the nighttime they could look at it and it was a pillar of fire. It was always there leading them, praise God. Amen. His strong hand leads me, amen. His hand guides me and protects me and leads me in this life, praise God. Ain't it good God can always give us a sign 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. Hey, listen, we wake up in the midnight hour, praise God. We wake up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Of course, I have to do that every day. But we wake up early in the morning and we can know that God is with us. We can know that God is beside of us, praise His name.
Amen.
Well, God reminds us of His promises like that, really. He's reminding us of His promise. He did that for Abraham. Before the children of Israel ever got down to Egypt, He did that for Abraham. He said, your seed is going to be as the sands of the sea, as the sand, just you, if you could number them and count them. And then He said, at night, if you could look up at night and see the stars, He couldn't see the sand at nighttime, but He could see the stars up in heaven. He said, if you could count all those stars, you could figure out how innumerable your seed's going to be. Of course, I think that's a picture of us, like the kids sing, Father Abraham has many sons, amen. That's a picture of the church also being grafted in, amen, of out of due time being grafted in by His goodness and His grace, amen. Praise God, we'll just run a few rabbit trails and preach this every which way on this. But let me give you a few things I believe will be a help to us. First of all, this pillar was a picture of separation. For them, it was separation. Bible tells us in verse 19 that the angel of God went, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now the angel of God was behind them to protect them. Now this pillar of a cloud by day and fire by night was behind them. And there was a separation there. The scripture says in verse 20, it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to those, so that the one came not near the other all night long. Ain't that a miracle of God? This cloud here, on one side of it, Brother Johnny, on one side of it, it was a cloud and darkness. But on the other side of it, it was a night light that the Lord gave the children of Israel. Amen.
Amen.
God said, I'm just going to leave the light on for you. Amen. You're going to have a nice rest here. Amen. I'm just going to take care of you and protect you. And all night long, they could look over there at that light just a beaming and just the right light that they needed all night long there. Couldn't see past it. They didn't know. Lord, if they knew the enemy, Brother Wayne, was just right on the other side of that, they would have been troubled. They would have been worried. But no, they didn't ever see them. They just seen the light of God. They just seen the light shining. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ain't that a good picture of the lighthouse? Amen. Ain't that a good picture of the light of Jesus Christ? He's there shining, ain't he? Amen. Listen, Scripture tells us there's some times that there's some things that separate us. I mean, our sins and iniquities separate us from God. I mean, this crowd was on the other side. They couldn't pass over. They wouldn't pass over. They were separated from God's people. Bible tells us the Lord said in Isaiah 59, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." I believe in this day and time, if there's anything that you don't hear enough preaching about, it's separation. Amen. I believe God has separated us. God has put a dividing line, if you will. If you're saved by the grace of God, the Lord's just saying, "Who is on my side? Come on over. Who's on the Lord's side?"
Amen. That's right.
Hey, it's really high time that the world sees a difference. They ought to see a difference in the child of God. Scripture tells us over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, talks to us about being separate, if you will. And I don't have this verse marked, but I'm going to turn there right quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and beginning verse 14, it says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness?" You see, on one side it was light. On the other side it was darkness. Bible says what? Men love darkness. In John chapter 1, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. He goes on to say, "What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people." Praise God, I want to be on the right side of that cloud, don't you? Amen. I want to be on the side there where the lights are shining. I want to be on the side where the Lord is. I want to be on that side, praise God, that's decided they're going to be a separated people, that's decided they're going to live right before God and holy before God, because God has called us out and separated us from the world. But not only that, just as much as, praise God, we're separated from the world, we're separated unto God. We're separated unto Him. We're sanctified and set apart unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul mentioned this several times. In fact, he begins in Romans chapter 1 by saying, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." He said, "I've been separated unto the gospel of God." There's some things that make a difference in my life. There's some things that have changed my life. There's some things that have pulled me aside unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Like we preached about Sunday night, he was branded for the Lord. He said, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bear in my body all of the shame and reproach." And we won't never be able to go through, and we never will go through what the Lord went through. We won't go through what Paul went through. But praise be unto God, if you're separated unto the Lord, if you're set apart unto God, God can and will use you for His glory. In fact, He wants to. I mean, I just wonder how many times He's a saying now, if they'll just come to me, I'll take them and I'll mold them and I'll make them. If they'll just be that potter, I mean, if they'll just be that clay and the Lord's that potter, and He'll take us and mold us and make us a vessel of honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us, I mean, really, we're going to be, and we are, God's showcase, if you will. The Bible tells us we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And the Bible tells us, I mean, there was that light on the other side, and the Scripture tells us that that we ought to let our light shine, and we ought to show our good works, and then they'll glorify our Father which is in heaven. Amen. What a blessing. Listen, light separates. Light separates. And not only that, we see that because of the pillar, there was darkness and light. Because of the pillar, there was darkness and light. Now, how many times today are people prone to say, there's the old preacher, you know, you're just old fashioned, you're just old fuddy duddy. I mean, listen, preacher, don't you know there's all these gray areas that we have today? Don't you realize that it's just not black and white like that anymore? It's just not, according to the Word of God, it is. Amen. Man's theology and man's thought may be, you know, that there's some issues that, we just can't really understand whether this is right or wrong or not. Like we was talking about that church, that mentioned over there in Charlotte and said they, you know, that they were just going to bring folks in. It didn't matter whether they continued in their sin. They weren't even going to preach about it. There were some sins that they decided they wasn't going to preach about. And people could just come in and do whatever they want to, be a member of the church, put them in as deacons and everything else. And because that's just the way things are today. There's a different lifestyle around today. Well, call it whatever you will, but black and white, the Scripture calls it sin. Amen. And guess what? God still hates sin. Amen. He don't like, I mean, He loves the sinner. He died for every sinner. He died that they might be saved, that they might be changed, that they might praise God. Listen, I mean, if they'll wake up, they can get over on the right side of this thing. They can get over there where there's light. They can get over there where there's direction. They can get over there where they have the goodness of God. Ain't that a blessing? Ain't it good? You don't have to stay in the dark. I mean, that's the problem right there. It ain't that there's some gray areas. It ain't that there's no fence. They're on the wrong side. Amen. They're on the dark side. They're on the side there is no light. And every time they look, they're blinded by the god of this world. Every time they look, the only thing they see is a cloud. The only thing they see is darkness because they ain't got on the right side yet. Amen. They get saved. There's light. I mean, I'm really convinced somebody gets saved by the grace of God. I mean, it amazes me when somebody gets saved how much education they can get a hold of real quick. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, I've met some folks that have been saved just a short amount of time. They were on fire for God. Maybe they had some zeal without knowledge, but they knew some things that were right. They were headed in the right direction. Amen. Some of us folk been saved a long time. We throw some water on it. We ought to be fanning the flames, amen. Praise God. Now listen, Pharaoh, the Bible tells us that Pharaoh, 10 different plagues came to Egypt. And the Bible says that Pharaoh continued to harden his heart. The only time he agreed finally to let the children of Israel go was when every single house had somebody dead in it. Every single house of Pharaoh's, of all of Egypt, had the firstborn lay dead that morning. And he finally said, okay, you guys can go. He compromised. At one time he said, you can go and part of you can go. Or just the men can go. Or you can go and don't take your stuff. And he just kept toying around with it. But every time the Bible says, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And even after he let him go, he hardened his heart again. And he got together and he took his army and he pursued after the Israelites. He pursued after them, didn't he? You know what? The same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. I mean, think about it. The same sun that melts the wax is the same sun that after that clay is all ready to go, it hardens that clay. And just as much as hearts was touched with the move of God and touched with Moses being the leader and following the right direction on that side of the light, on the other side, their hearts were hardened. Their hearts got a little bit harder because they weren't opening up to the message that God had for them. You see, another thing, light exposes. Amen. Things are brought to light, if you will, and shows up on you. Amen. Like I said earlier, let me read a couple of verses out of John 3. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light's come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." God will find it out. "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." He said, praise his name. Just that one some on one side, they stay over there in the darkness and they don't come to the light. But he said, if you come to the light, everything is exposed and the truth makes things manifest and opens it up. Like I saw Matt looking in the mirror of God's Word, and we see what we need to do for Jesus Christ. We see how we need to draw close to Him. I mean, the same message, Lord God. I mean, I've seen the same message. You begin to preach, and I've seen some just stiffen up. Lord God, I've been preaching for, and some, I mean, it looked like I knew they was getting mad, okay? Amen. I mean, you could just see their heart get hardened, and you could just see them crunch down, and boy, they wish I'd shut up. I mean, and I've seen it happen when I got 5 minutes into the message. Yeah. That's when it gets rough. You have to look at them another, 30 minutes or so. You have to look at them a little bit longer. Amen. Can't lie about the time now. Brother John got down to the second over there, how long we're going. But anyhow, I mean, you can see some, I mean, just being completely turned off to the message. But then you see others that, boy, I mean, from 5 minutes into it, they got a smile from ear to ear. They got their Bibles open. They want to hear something from the Word of God. Hey, oh, it's the same message. Amen. It's the same light. But buddy, when you start exposing things, when you start showing up some things that needs to be straightened in your life, you're either going to open up and get them right, or you might just close up and get a little bit harder. You might just close up and say, well, I ain't going to listen to that. But boy, I tell you what, you know what God wants to do? He really don't want to just get a hold of that one that their heart is getting hard. He wants to do a transplant. Amen. The Bible tells in Jeremiah, it said, take out that stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He wants to do a heart transplant. Amen. He wants to take them out of darkness, praise God, into light. I didn't mention before about what said about the God of this world. Let me read another verse there. In that, or near that same passage, it says in 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. You know what? What does the Bible say about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? It says one of these days He's going to come, and the Antichrist already going to be revealed. He's already going to be here for 7 years, revealing Himself, and some of the worst things that's ever happened on the face of this earth are going to be going on in those 7 years, especially those last 3.5 years of tribulation. But the Bible says when the Lord comes, He will destroy him with the brightness of His coming. Amen. Amen. Ain't that what the book says? It says with the brightness of His coming, Amen, He'll destroy the devil. Well, don't you reckon with the brightness and the light of the Word of God as it shines in your heart and as you're on the right side and the lights are turned on, don't you know that it can touch our heart, that we'll just exceed what we need to do for Him and realize that there's nothing that's hid before God, but His eyes are open unto everything that's done. Praise God. Excuse me. In fact, let me read another verse in the 2 Corinthians Amen. I should have kept my place over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, and this is where it talks about the God, excuse me, of this world. And he says in verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending others to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves are the servants for Jesus' sake. And then he goes on to say, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. Hey, you think about it. Listen, and this, I guess, is all a whole another message in itself. But you think about how many times it talks about the Lord and being a light. There's something about Him being the light of the world. It says He's going to come and destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of His coming. The Bible tells us here that He's commanded the light to shine out of darkness, the light into our heart, and that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And you remember old Moses, when he went up there on the mountain and got the Ten Commandments, what happened? The Bible tells us that they told him to turn his face, and he would just show him his hinder parts. And when he come up off the mountain, his face was so bright that he had to cover his face with a veil. Just because he got a glimpse of the Lord, his face was still bright. Hey, man, don't you reckon we ought to get a glimpse of Him every once in a while? Hey, man, somebody might see the light in you, amen. And ain't your light, it's His light. Amen. I like that illustration. I wasn't going to head here, but I'm going to give you a couple more thoughts, and I'll go to my last point, and we'll go home. Y'all ain't started no turkey yet anyhow. It's tomorrow. Hopefully you got it defrosted or you're in trouble. Anyhow, what was I talking about? Okay, the Bible says that Jesus is the light of this world. Also says we are the light of the world. I heard somebody say one time, they thought about that and thought, well, maybe that's a contradiction, because it says He's the light of the world and it says we're the light of the world. But somebody else said, think about the sun and the moon. The sun, during the daytime, the earth is turned on its axis and we're looking at the sun. And we could say, yes, that's the light of the world, the sun. But then the earth turns on its axis and we're not facing the sun anymore. We don't see the sun anymore. But we see the moon. And we see the moonlight. It's not as bright as the sun, but we see the moonlight. But of course we know that whenever it was, 1964, we stepped foot on the moon, and we realized that, and knew before that, though, that actually the moon doesn't have no light of its own. It doesn't shine any light at all. It's of itself. But it's actually a satellite that reflects the light of the sun back to this earth. Somebody said, we're like a satellite, amen? We're like that moon. We don't have no light of our own. It's all Him, amen. And it's because of Him that there's any light that's inside of us. And actually, when we shine the light, it's not our light, but it's His light. And praise God, I'll tell you what, I believe we're living in the dark days. We're living in the dark hours of this world. Amen. The bright days is when He was stepping on the foot of this earth. But now we're living in the twilight hours. We're living in the dark days. And so, praise God, we all let our light shine. Amen. Amen, we all let our light shine. Listen, and then let me give you this. And I guess really, this is the main thing that they seen this pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. This is the main thing. In fact, it's back in chapter 13 and verse 21 that the Scripture says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night." He said He led them the way, and that it was to go by day and night. If they were to move, the cloud was to move. If the cloud was to move, they were to move. If they seen it during the daytime of moving, boy, it's time to pull up the stakes. Amen. It's time to move the tent. It's time to go. It's time to head out. There's the cloud moving. You know what? More than anything else, it's a picture of leadership. It was a picture of them knowing what direction to go in, knowing which way to go, because, praise God, they were following the leadership of God. God had put that in there for their direction and for them to follow it. The Bible tells us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not have that you should be ignorant how that our fathers, which were under the cloud," he said they were under the cloud, "and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat that same spiritual meat, and did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them." That rock was Christ. Amen. Boy, what a picture of us. Listen, I guess if there's any part that goes along good with maybe a Thanksgiving mission tonight, is that if they had just stayed there, let's say you got a family that says, "Now, I know that, you know, Moses, I think he's doing pretty good, but you know, we murmured against him a little bit there, and when we didn't have no water, and we murmured against him again, we didn't have any food, and well, we don't even know if that is going to work out, and that cloud and everything, it's a moving now, but you know what, I think I'll just stay right here." You know what? They'd have starved to death. Yeah, they would. Amen. They'd have starved. In fact, there might have been some that lagged behind a little bit. I don't know. There might have been some every once in a while that lagged behind a little bit. And then they got to thinking, well, we wake up in the morning, I bet you there won't be no manna here, but there'll be some manna over there where the cloud's at. Yeah. Amen. And God a blessing them. I mean, the Bible tells us their shoes didn't wear out. Amen. Bible tells us their clothes didn't wear out. Amen. I mean, you know, God took care of them in every way, but they had to follow God's direction. They had to go the way that God was going. Amen. I want to go with God, don't you? I want to follow Him. Amen. Thank God for His goodness. I mean, sometimes you say, "Well, preacher, I don't know about all that separation. I don't know about all that and everything." Well, wouldn't it be good that when we got to heaven, we looked back and we found out that we was a following the Lord every step of the way. We didn't buck Him over here. We didn't go off on our own. We didn't come up with our own. And we do that so many times, but thank God, we get back in the right direction. Like I said, Sunday night, we're like them dumb sheep sometimes, but we get back on the right trail, praise God. We let the Lord lead us and direct us and where we should go, what we should do. Amen. Well, it's been good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Thank God for His goodness. And amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and just ask the Lord to meet with us. And I know He already has. Just thank Him for meeting with us. Amen. In fact, if it's all right with everybody, why don't we just come around and have an altar prayer tonight? Amen. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and if you want to pray in your seat, that's fine also. But